I talked a little bit about psyllid management with reference to insecticide resistance management, reminding folks about the importance of rotating modes of action. I reminded folks that we have been seeing levels of resistance up to 40-fold to certain insecticides, such as the neonicotinoids, as early as 2009. I reminded folks that these aren't levels that we should be concerned about product failures yet, but if they continue to increase, we may see product failures in the future. So again, very important to rotate, especially as we're seeing some of these new insecticides come on the market that have multiple modes of action in a single formulation. So it's really important to understand what modes of action are in that formulation, because with these new multi-mode of action tools, it's easier to make mistakes. I talked about the fact that we've identified 5 genes that are specifically related to resistance to imidacloprid. Now, that's a very important tool for young tree protection, and it's also the one to which we're seeing the greatest level of resistance because it's been used for so long. So with the identification of these 5 genes, we're going to try to figure out methods to shut them down or silence them to help impede further pesticide resistance. So the reminders are to rotate. Any rotation is better than none, and things to avoid if possible are cutting rates or skipping rows with some of these newer technologies such as low volume, because if we decrease the pesticide residue below what the label recommends, then we're allowing mildly resistant individuals from a population to continue breeding, further propagating that resistance. So we want to try to avoid those things, and of course avoid applying the same mode of action back to back. So if you're applying a neonicotinoid such as an Admire or a Platinum, we certainly don't want to follow that up with a foliar spray of Octara or Provato.
The university, I believe, recently published one of your reports about abandoned groves harboring psyllids.
What we've recently essentially proved is that what many have known in the past, but it's one of those things that you have to prove. Abandoned groves not only harbor Asian citrus psyllid, even when they're heavily declining, but they harbor the pathogen that causes greening. There tends to be a biased movement of psyllids from abandoned groves into managed groves when they're adjacent to one another, because they're moving to where there's a food source. And in doing so, we've proven that they do carry the pathogen into the managed groves. I was just talking to some folks today here at this field day, and folks that are surrounded by abandoned groves are really feeling the pressure from them. And right now, we found in terms of seasonality, it's flush based, but April, May are really months of heavy movement. So this is the time of the year where if you're next to abandoned groves, you really have to watch out for psyllids coming in, and things like supplemental border sprays of both your grove and the abandoned groves are things to consider to help really impede that influx of psyllids. And also this time of year, if you're surrounded by abandoned groves, this is one of the reasons why you can see such a small duration of effectiveness post an application, because the residues on a lot of these pesticides don't last very long. So if you're surrounded by abandoned groves this time of year, you can see psyllids coming back in your grove as soon as a week after application, because they simply recolonize after you've killed them out. And again, that's one of the advantages of coordinated large-scale spraying. You mitigate the effects of that psyllid movement.
Citrus health management areas, they're extremely important, aren't they?
Absolutely. Very important.
I'm Ernie Neff. You're listening to Southeast AgNet.